Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to greet you in the name of the Lord today. It's time to look to the Word. The title today, No Wine, No Fields, No Houses, is taken out of Jeremiah 35. I trust this morning the Lord will minister to our lives and to our families. We're going to begin with Jeremiah 35. It's a wonderful chapter in the Word of God, set apart by itself. Let's begin to read a few verses, Jeremiah 35, 5 to 10. Jeremiah speaking, prophet of the Lord. He said, "Then I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls full of wine and cups, and I said to them, 'Drink wine.' But they said, 'We will drink no wine.' For Jonadab the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, 'You shall drink no wine, you nor your sons forever. You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these. But all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners.' Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, nor to build ourselves houses to dwell in. Nor do we have vineyard, field, or seed. But we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us." Further down in the passage, verse 13, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, 'Go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to obey my words, says the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For to this day they drink none and obey their father's commandment. But although I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, you did not obey me. I have also sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, 'Turn now everyone from his evil way, amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers. But you have not inclined your ear nor obeyed me. Surely the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people has not obeyed me.'" A few months ago, Pastor Mark was speaking on a Monday night young adult service, and he was speaking out of Jeremiah 35. And I listened to the beautiful words as he talked about the family of the Rechabites, about their faithfulness, non-compromising spirit, their obedience, their faithfulness to walk under spiritual fathers that they had, and how they performed the commandment of the Lord. And as I went through the passage, as it was being taught that night, and I noticed the prohibitions, I noticed the counsel of Jonadab to his family, and I'd never looked at it in the way that I was inspired at the end of that service that night. The counsel of the Lord that came to Jonadab that he put forth to his family. And the Lord said, I'm going to use this clan, this family of the Rechabites, and I want them to be an example. I'm using them to teach Israel, the Lord said. And he said through Jeremiah, I want to teach my people the faithfulness of this family, how they served the Lord, how they obeyed the instruction of their father to serve the Lord. And he said, I'm contrasting that to the unfaithfulness of my people to serve their father, God. And what a lesson there is in this scripture of the Lord. Jonadab, the son of Rechab. Think of this. Jonadab lived 250 years before Jeremiah and the situation we read about. Almost 250 years had gone by since the patriarch of that family, a godly man, had put forth the counsel and instruction of the Lord as to how his family should serve the Lord. And 250 years later, not one son, not one daughter had deviated from the word of the Lord. Think of it. I think of my family. I'm about 120 years down on both my father and mother's side in godly line. This family, almost 250 years. But I can't say that all of my clan has served the Lord, for they haven't. But in this family, everyone served the Lord. It's like thinking back almost, let's think back 250 years that somewhere in your past, a godly ancestor of yours, a godly father or mother, a man and his wife put forth a counsel back in the late 1700s. And here we are in 2019, and not one son or daughter has ever failed to walk in the ways of the Lord that were set forth by that godly standard. That's what we're talking about in this passage. Jonadab was an ordinary man, just like all of us here. His wife, an ordinary woman. It's Father's Day, it's Mother's Day today. He wasn't a king, he wasn't a priest, he wasn't a prophet. He was a common man who carved out a spiritual inheritance for his family and said, "We will serve the Lord." He gained reputation as a man of God in the land. Now, these Rechabites were relatives of Israel in a way because they traced back to Moses. Moses and the marriage to Midian, Jethro's family, the Kenites, it went back to there. And even though they were not of the family of Israel, the Rechabites were a very godly family. And throughout Scripture, you read of them at times and how they favored Israel and warred for Israel's victory. The Kenites and the Rechabites. And Jonadab, this great patriarch of this family. We read of him as well in 2 Kings chapter 10. I want to mention this because he had reputation of as being a man of God, a man who followed the Lord, a man who observed the ways of the Lord. And there was spiritual strength in him. And when King Jehu was anointed by Elisha the prophet, circa 840 BC, Jehu came upon Jonadab. Here he's called Jehonadab. And it says, "Now when he," that is Jehu, "departed from there, he met Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he greeted him and said to him, 'Is your heart right as my heart is toward your heart?' And Jehonadab answered, 'It is.' Jehu said, 'If your heart is right with my heart, give me your hand.' So he gave him his hand and he took him up into the chariot. Then Jehu said, 'Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord, for Jehovah.' So they had him ride in his chariot. Jehu and Jonadab riding in the chariot of the king. And there was one purpose in Jehu that day, and Jonadab was with them. And they said, 'We are going to gather all the prophets of Baal and all the worshipers of Baal out of the northern kingdom of Israel. And we're going to invite them all to the house of Baal. And when they are in there and sealed in there, and we're going to have 80 guards around that building, and not one man will escape.' And Jehu and Jonadab exterminated Baal worship in the northern kingdom of Israel. What a ride. Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." He caused them to ride in his chariot. An ordinary man riding in the king's chariot and executing the judgments of the Lord in righteousness and holiness in the land. And this Jonadab put forth three counsels to his descendants down the line. What would cause a father to put forth counsel and advice like he did? What did this man see by the eye of faith? What did this man understand about life, about satanic warfare, about temptation in the earth, about the slide of the human heart? What did this man see and understand? A young man might not see this yet, what the old man saw. He said, "I'm putting counsel into my family. I'm putting instruction into my family. I'm putting a standard into my family that they will serve the Lord." Why would a father do this? There's only one reason, and that is to perpetuate spiritual life in his family, to ensure the blessing of God, the inheritance of the Lord on all his seed, all his descendants forever to come. Number one, Jonadab moved to protect his family from addictions. Said, "No wine." Said, "No wine." Said, "I'm not even going to take the chance that one of my descendants fall victim to that vice of alcoholism and the repercussions of that. He said, I'm just going to put a prohibition on my family, no wine. Now, the Bible doesn't teach total abstinence. The Bible doesn't teach abstinence from wine and liquors. But the Bible strongly, certainly condemns drunkenness and excess. And that we must be wise. The Bible warns about the effects of this area of alcoholism and difficulty and the struggle it brings. The Bible warns of it, but it doesn't teach total abstinence. I think of Jesus. They called him a glutton and a winebibber. It was obviously a slander and an exaggeration because Jesus would not have violated. But the Bible says that John the Baptist came living a fasted life as a Nazarite. He didn't touch the fruit of the vine. He didn't drink wine. He lived a fasted life. But Jesus came eating and drinking. Eating and drinking. He feasted in people's houses. He sat at their meal and what was placed before him, he thanked them and received. But they said, Jesus is a glutton and a wine bibber, an exaggeration. But Jesus was one who feasted and drank. Now, there are many addictions. Let's take the spirit of this passage this morning. There are many addictions. Some are lawful and some are unlawful. Some are what we would call sinful and some are what we would call acceptable and legitimate. But there are many addictions. And you can have addictions. There's the obvious ones on the unlawful side, gambling and drugs and alcohol. But there are others that are more lawful, but they can still become addictions. Like recreation and pleasure, sports, hobbies. Things that crowd into our life, and they obsess our life, and we don't walk with the Lord as spiritually as we should and walk into the inheritance that He has for us. We're playing around too much and never get the gold. Jesus said, Luke 21, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, the New King James says. I like the King James, it says with surfeiting. Surf, and then E-I-T-I-N-G, surfeiting. It means an excessive amount of something. Jesus saying, be careful that your hearts lest your hearts be weighed down with an excessive amount of something. You know, surfing can really get away on you, both in the water and on land. Lest your hearts be weighed down with excess, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. That is the day of the Lord. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. If we don't watch and pray, we will not be worthy. We will not be ready to escape the things that come on the earth. Jesus said, watch and pray. He said, don't let your hearts be weighed down by excess. Many, many addictions, lawful and unlawful. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:12. The Apostle Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, obviously, Paul is talking about lawful things. He said, all things are lawful for me. He's not talking about unlawful things. The Apostle Paul didn't say, you know, I can swear and get drunk and commit sexual immorality. He said, all things are lawful, but not helpful. He wasn't talking about unlawful things. Those are unlawful. Those are sins of the flesh. But he was talking about lawful things, eating and drinking, recreations of life, the pleasures of life. He said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Nothing is going to take my heart. Nothing is going to take my focus away from the Lord, my spiritual life, and my spiritual inheritance. Those things will have to be dealt with on the side lightly, but they're not going to take over my heart, my time, consume my energies. I will serve the Lord. There's only one addiction I want, 1 Corinthians 16:15, out of the KJV. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves, to the ministry of the saints. See, when you get addicted in this world, the substance takes hold of you. But in the kingdom of God, you're never forced. God will never demand the surrender of your life. You have to learn how to addict yourself. And as you give yourself to the Lord, you become addicted to the ministry of the saints. I don't know about you, but I'm addicted to the house of God. I'm addicted to the worship of the house of the Lord. I'm addicted to the prayer room. I'm addicted to helping the saints grow and increase in the knowledge of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's only one addiction we want, and that is to be addicted to serve the Lord. Jonadab said, I'm going to protect my family from unwise addictions so they can serve the Lord without distraction. Number two, Jonadab moved to protect his family from strife. He said, no fields. He moved to protect his family from strife and division and discord. Those of us who are parents here who have grown children know there is nothing as grievous and troubling to a parent as when their grown children are at strife with each other and bring that turmoil into the family relationship. Jonadab said, no fields. He said, no seed. We're not going to have vineyards, fields, or seed. Isaiah spoke this word in Isaiah 5 and 8, he said, woe to those who join house to house and lay field to field. He was speaking of that grasping spirit, that materialistic spirit that could get into all of us. Jonadab said, I want my family at peace. I'm going to put forth a word that we have kind of a communal way of life, that we share with one another and we help with one another, that no one ever lacks in this family. And that we will take care of one another and we'll be blessed of God. He said, I don't want us buying fields. Because he said one brother's going to buy a field and maybe his harvest will be a little better than the other brother's. And soon he's able to add another field and this other brother's struggling. And all of a sudden there's competition and strife in the family. He said, I'm going to eliminate that. We're going to work together. We're going to walk together. We'll have flocks and herds, and we'll have food on the table, and we'll be provided for. But I'm going to knock out strife in my family because I'm going to break the spirit of covetousness right at the start. There's one way to keep covetousness grasping out of your heart, and that is to deal with it in the Spirit of God on the inside. Keep it out of your family by keeping it out of your heart. Listen to Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 15. Then one from the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Young man from the crowd, Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. My, how much strife there is in families over inheritance. Over what one son or one daughter has and the other doesn't have, and how one was favored by the father or mother and the other wasn't, and how life developed for one and they prosper and the other one's still struggling to pay the bills. One got this keepsake and I wanted it, and treasure from the past, and why does that brother have it when I should have it? Say, well, Jesus, what do you have to say about this? Jesus, tell me, what... Tell my brother to invite the inheritance. Tell me what you say. I mean, surely Jesus has something to say about everything. Apparently not. Apparently not. He says, that's not my jurisdiction. He says, I only have authority where my Father in heaven gives me authority and jurisdiction. But he said, I have no authority to be a judge over your family matters. You go and get your heart right with your brother, and you walk together in peace and harmony in the will of God. Don't, but he said, listen, beware of covetousness. He said, don't let a covetous spirit get in you, because it'll destroy your family and it'll bring walls and breaches that you can hardly contain. And your heart will break in your family. He said, beware of covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. It does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Listen, for all of us this morning, there's nothing more important in our families than love and unity and caring for one another. And if one member of the family has something more and another is struggling, how beautiful it is to be able to share and bless the family and lift up that family in the service of the Lord. Jonadab said, I'm going to move to eliminate strife and covetousness from my family. My, what a word of the Lord through that man. Number three, Jonadab moved to protect his family from earthliness. He said, no houses. No wine, no field, no houses. No, obviously we're dealing with the spirit of his message today. He said, no houses. A house speaks of permanence. It speaks of stability. We settle down. We have a residence, a place to dwell in. He said, no houses. We're going to live in tents, which speaks of a life, a pilgrimage life, a life that is on the move with God. He said, I don't want my family ever settling down in this life, searching for the good life here, for prosperity and pleasure and all the pursuits, getting so earthly minded that they lose their spiritual and heavenly gaze to the Lord and their pursuit of the Lord. He said, we're going to dwell in tents. We're going to have a pilgrim journey. We're going to make sure that every son and daughter, from the time they're born, they're raised up to know we're walking on a journey. We're on a heavenly course. This world is not our home. We belong to the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. My, how many families? I think back over the years of my life in church and in the ministry. My, how many godly families have totally lost the spiritual inheritance given to them by their forefathers, and they have no clue of their godly destiny before them. They settle down in life, the lifestyle, trying to get everything they can out of this life, the good life, all the good pleasures, as long as I can live this life to the best, and they've missed out on their eternal reward today because they settle down in this world. We must stay on the move, people of God. We must have a pilgrim spirit. Nothing's going to tie me down to this world. I'm just passing through. I'm on my way to the celestial city of God, and I will have my staff in hand, and every step I take, I will move by the word of God and by the power of God until one day we enter those pearly gates on high. Keep a pilgrim spirit. Don't settle down. Don't put your life and too much value in the things of this world. Make sure that spiritual purpose is on your life. Hebrews 11, 9 to 10 speaks of Abraham. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In this life, Abram said, with his son Isaac and Jacob, he said, we're just passing through. We're dwelling in tents. We've got the spirit of travelers in us, and we're looking for the great city of God, the one which has eternal foundations. Verse 13 of Hebrews 11, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Strangers and pilgrims, seeking a homeland, the eternal heavens on high. Hebrews 13, 14 says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. In 1 Peter 1 to 2, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion, those believers scattered throughout the regions of earth, were pilgrims in this place today, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Holy Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Hallelujah. We're sanctified. The blood of Jesus Christ has been sprinkled, applied to our lives. We are cleansed from our sin. We're a different people. We're strangers and pilgrims. We're not seeking to settle down in this world as if this is our only life. We seek a life on high. The Lord has led us this far by faith. He has led us by fire and by cloud. He will bring us to the heavenly Zion to look on his face. Blessed, oh blessed be God. Jonadab, what a spirit in the man and in his wife. They would counsel their family after these manners. No wine, no fields, no houses. Now you might look at this passage today and say that, you know, Jonadab, he went too far. He asked too much, that no father or mother has a right to ask that much, to request that much. I want to say this morning, let's be careful of a too much spirit. Too much is better than too little. Strength is better than weakness. Dedication is better than compromise. Beware of a too much spirit. There was a king in Israel, the northern kingdom, who turned an entire nation away from the Lord because he had that too much spirit. He said to the people of Israel, it's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. That's the exact words he said. It's too much for you. Jerusalem, we're up here in the north. Jerusalem, it's too far to go to church. It's too far to go with the offerings of the Lord. It's too costly. I mean, it's too tiring. It's too taxing on you and your family to go up to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's build a shrine here. Let's build a place of worship where we are, where it's easier for us. We don't have to travel far. Convenient way of life. We'll worship here. And that's what they did. And that's what they did. And a nation fell away from the Lord. Beware of a too much spirit. Beware of those who say, you pray too much. You go to church too much. You read the word too much. You're in the house of God too much. There's too many meetings at the church. There's too much of a call for the Spirit of the Lord. There's too much of a call for fervency and passion after the Lord. Beware of a too much spirit. Because the principle still remains. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I hope you hear that this morning. The kingdom of heaven still permits violence, and the violent take the kingdom of heaven by force. We need a forceful spirit. We need a spirit after the ways of the Lord. Jonadab had a kingdom violence in him. He had a kingdom violence in him to exterminate the worshipers of Baal, to set his family on a standard of holiness and righteousness and fervency after the Lord. And you know what the Lord said to this man? Jeremiah 35, my. We can say things to one another. We can try and encourage one another with words on our level. But when God speaks into our life, into our family, it's something beyond what we can even imagine or think. God said to this man, Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, now 250 years later, to this family who had been faithful, he says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father and kept all his precepts and done according to all that he commanded you, therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. How many want to invoke that promise this morning into your life and family? Because Jonadab obeyed the commandment of the Lord and set his family, the Rechabites, into it. God says, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. You know, I used to read this passage. I've read it my whole life, and I read it, and I always thought it means that Jonadab will never have at least one person in that family that will serve the Lord. There will always be at least one person that will serve the Lord. And the Lord told me to turn my glasses around. He said, Jonadab will not have one person missing to stand before me. Not one person missing. Not one son, not one daughter that has failed of the counsel and precepts of the Lord. Jonadab will not lack one man to stand before me. Every son and daughter saved. Every son and daughter and grandson and granddaughter down through the generations walking after the ways of the Lord. My, what a holy promise. What a holy promise. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 3:15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family named in heaven. Every member of that family's name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, sealed with the blood of Christ. Every member of that family known in heaven, named in heaven. Known by the Father, known by the Son, known by the Holy Spirit. If the angels of God know us in the earth, and they walk and attend to our ways. And he said, the whole family in heaven and in earth be named. A family that's not only named in heaven, but it's named in earth because every member of that family is in their place. They're in the house of God. They're in the prayer room. They're serving the Lord. They're walking with God. The whole family in heaven and earth is named. Hallelujah. What an inheritance. I don't mind telling you this morning, as I've told you in times past, it is my constant. A number of times a week in different manners, I pray this prayer, and I prayed it for years and years since Deb and I first had children, that not one of my sons and daughters, grandsons and granddaughters, seed going down till the day Jesus Christ returns will ever fail of the passionate pursuit of the presence of God, a love for the house of the Lord, and fervent ministry of the saints. That is my prayer, that not one of them will fail, that not one of them will forsake the passionate love and fervency of the house of God and the worship of the Lord and the kingdom of our God. That's my prayer. You say, well, Pastor Ron, will that word be tested? Maybe it will, but maybe that ground has already been conquered by the Spirit of grace and supplication. The Bible says God will pour out the Spirit of grace and of supplication upon His people. And things will change, and miracles will take place, and families will serve the Lord and walk with God perpetually. The Spirit of grace, the Spirit of grace, the favor of God, and of supplications, the supplications of man, the grace of God and the supplications of a father and a holy mother will meet and the Lord will pour out his spirit and perpetuate the promise of the Lord. The Lord said in Isaiah 45:11, ask of me things to come concerning my sons. Said, I want you to start asking of me things to come concerning my sons. My sons are your children. My sons are your children. I want you to start asking. Ask of me concerning my sons. What's the will of God? How do I raise them? How do I perpetuate spiritual life? How do I bring the kingdom of God with force into my family? How do I serve God with all my heart? God says, ask of me things to come concerning my sons. And he said, concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. And in all humility and with weeping and tears, we come before the Lord and we begin to give command by the Spirit. Lord, pour out your Spirit as you have said. Put life into my family. Let not one of them fail of the grace of God. Let your power and your Spirit rest upon them. Let them walk in holiness and the power of God. Lord, I'm giving command to the Spirit. I'm giving command to you in the earth, O Lord. Out of the depths of my heart, that my family would serve the Lord and walk with you. Ask of me things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. How can we fritter away hours and hours of time when our family members are not serving the Lord? We should be on our faces weeping and fasting and calling out on the presence of the Lord and doing everything we can to bring spiritual life and inheritance into our family. May we rise up with the spirit of Jonadab. May we rise up with the spirit of his wife. For that couple set something into the earth that lasted for hundreds of years by the grace and power of God. An ordinary man, an ordinary woman. Don't say it was a prophet. Don't say it was somebody like Moses, a great leader. It was a man of the rank and file of Israel who rose up with a determination and said, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. There's a verse in Scripture. Every time I read it, doesn't matter how many dozens and scores of times I read it, when I come across it, my heart weeps. And it's 2 Samuel 18:33, King David weeping over a wayward son of his. King David weeping over his son, a wayward son, a rebel son, a son who rose up against the kingdom. It wasn't just the kingdom of David, because David was there for the Lord. A son that rose up against the kingdom of the Lord. And that son died on the battlefield that day, and his name was Absalom. And David went up to the chamber at the gate and convulsing with weeping, heartbroken. He said, oh, my son Absalom. Oh, Absalom, my son, if only I had died for you. If only I had died for you. Some translations say, I think they're weak. If only I had died instead of you this day. I don't think that's what David was saying. David was saying what a man of God before him said, Moses, and later a man of God after him, Paul the Apostle, said. He was saying, oh, Absalom, if I could have given my life as an atoning sacrifice for your sin, like Jesus did for us on the cross, I would have done it in a moment. If I could have given my life as a sacrifice for you so your sins would be forgiven and you'd be in the kingdom of God, I would have done it in a moment. Oh, Absalom, my son, shows the heart of King David, the heart of a father. This morning we're looking at the spirit of Jonadab and his wife, spirit of his children. So pliable, so submissive. And that family, such a presence and spirit of God, worship team come, that not one son or daughter rebelled against the counsel of that great patriarch and matriarch of the family. They saw the wisdom. They inclined their ear unto understanding. They said, we will walk with the Lord. We will walk with the Lord. This morning, let's stand together in this house of God. And let's present ourselves before the Lord. Take up the spirit of Jonadab today. Take up the counsel of the Lord for your family. And know that God has called each of us to carve out a spiritual inheritance into the future. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Kingdom of heaven, by grace and by supplication, the spirit of grace and of supplication. And let's present ourselves to the Lord this morning. Let's offer ourselves, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters. We're here to serve you, Lord. Take our life on in your purpose. Protect us. Protect the kingdom message. There may be some here this morning that need a fresh surrender to the Lord. You need to be at the altar of the Lord this morning. The Bible says now is the time of salvation. None of us know when our last breath is. Now is the time to serve the Lord, that we would make a dedication, that we would break the stubborn heart that's in all of us as human beings and serve the Lord with all our heart. The wisdom of God is offered this morning. The wisdom of God is offered. Lord said, I've set this family of Jonadab, the Rechabites, before my people as a lesson, that my people would be submissive and walk in my ways, and walk in my ways. Hallelujah. Let's begin to worship the Lord together. If this message has come into your heart in a special way, and you're not serving the Lord like you should, but today you're coming with fresh consecration to set a standard of life in motion. You say, I want to give myself to the Lord in that kind of separation. Please slip out from where you are. Come and consecrate yourself. Make your vows before the Lord. Say, that's the kind of family, Lord, I want, that Jonadab family. That's the kind of spirit I want. Maybe there's been waywardness and lukewarmness, some compromise, but today you say, I'm coming back to standard from the Lord. But oh, all of us this morning, let's present ourselves to the Lord in fresh consecration to be the people of God and the family of the Lord. Amen.